Who gets the credit for having selected this topic for the evening? Which one of you? Huh? Collectively. Well, congratulations to your collective selection. It's a nice topic. Just so I can get a sense of the audience, please raise your hand if you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 1 year or less than 1 year. So perhaps it's kind of new category. How many are in that category? Practicing Krishna consciousness for 1 year or less. Okay. So that means you've been all practicing Krishna consciousness for 1 year or more. And by practicing Krishna consciousness for some time, 1 year or more, you have a sense of the basic elements or the necessity of commitment to the sadhana bhakti process. And from Bhagavad Gita, I'm sure you're familiar with a number of the parts of Bhagavad Gita, one of them being Chatur Vidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritan Arjuna. There are four categories of pious people that render service unto Krishna. And the categories are I want. And there's different wants. And I want relief from my distress. Or I want economic betterment. Or I want my curiosity satisfied. Or I want knowledge. Of the four, Krishna says, the one that is seeking knowledge is the best of the four. But everyone who's been practicing Krishna consciousness for 1 year or more will observe in their life and or in the lives of devotees that are practicing Krishna consciousness, there's kind of this really fast increase of enthusiasm and learning, and then something kind of hits a little plateau and then kind of goes down. Not that crash landing, but you know, the same initial wow enthusiasm kind of tapers off. And it's not the same as when we started Krishna consciousness. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, is those things that started us got satisfied. And then we kind of become complacent. Or worse, like, you know, thank you very much, Krishna, you've been very kind, you helped me with the distress or the economic betterment situation, or my curiosity is satisfied, thank you very much. See you later. And then the pinch comes on, oh Krishna, then we become attentive again. But complacency and spiritual life don't go well together. So something, this is not, I haven't a Bhagavad Gita verses and chapter to recite, but just experience says, at some point in time, we need to step back from our initial participation in Krishna consciousness, hit the reset button, and maybe periodically hit the reset button, and say, what's really the essence of Krishna consciousness that attracted me? What's going to sustain my attraction for Krishna consciousness over time? And, of course, ultimately it comes down to our relationship with Krishna. One of the evenings when I was here, there was the first evening, there was chapter 9 summary. In the middle section of chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita, the most confidential knowledge, revolves around Krishna's form is all spiritual. There's a section, kind of the simultaneous, achintya beta beta tattva topic, Krishna, everything is within Krishna, everything is not within Krishna. Behold my mystic opulence. Understanding the relationship between Krishna as the creator, maintainer, sustainer, and yet he's doing everything not with direct personal involvement. He's involved in Goloka Vrindavan, but through his expansion, his Paramatma feature, he's involved in all those things. And even that is done with remote control. It's under his adyaksha. So the relationship between Krishna and creation, and then there's the persons, us, within creation, that are to regard Krishna, that is less than complete and there's complete. So it has to do with Krishna's form. So advancement in Krishna consciousness and form means everything, personality, qualities, name, entourage, abode, Krishna, Krishna Tattva. Having a clear and proper understanding of Krishna Tattva. And there's less than clear. There's compromise or incomplete. And in a very liberal way, Krishna describes those less than complete persons are also his devotees. It's a big net. He just casts the net and brings everybody in. They're my devotees. Ekatvena, Pratakvena, Bhavada, Vishvatam will come. And he describes them with some elaboration in the chapter. But the real confidential essence of the confidential knowledge chapters, Krishna's form is all spiritual, and we're meant to have a relationship with Krishna in his all spiritual form. It's not dogmatism, it's spiritual reality. And so our relationship with Krishna is access through the medium of devotional service. And devotional service to Krishna is access through devotional service to Krishna's devotees. So if we want a loving relationship with Krishna, it's imperative, it's not optional, that we need loving relationship with Krishna's devotees. So we'll say the same thing in a different way. When you return, that lovely day comes and you return to the spiritual world. Is it going to be A or B? It's just you and Krishna. Or B, there's Krishna and unlimited numbers of living entities surrounding Krishna at his lotus feet, adoring and worshiping and loving him. A or B? Obviously. So this is the practice place to go to B. Now, there's some difficulty, and it's not out there, it's over here. What's over here is there's contaminations of our heart. We need devotee association, but gee whiz, they're less than perfect. And I expect the devotees are going to be way up there. And when I start associating with devotees, I find they're not all way up there. They're less than perfect. And so how do I have a relationship with a devotee that's less than perfect? And that's necessary to get to B. Problem, right? And to expand on that, we have, I'm going to just make quick reference, not elaborately, to two verses from Rupa Goswami's teachings, Nectar of Instruction. And as you know, because you've been around for more than a year, and maybe, you know, 15, maybe 20, maybe more than that years, you know what Rupa Goswami says about loving relationships with devotees. There's six kinds. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, he established ISKCON, the Hare Krishna movement, for this one purpose, to nourish the six kinds of loving exchanges. Here's just one sentence out of the whole several page purport I'd like to read. It's Prabhupada is expressing in his Bhaktivedanta purport that it's foundational. The loving exchanges amongst devotees is foundational for going to our destination. Same thing as I said, this, you know, option A, option B. It's the opportunity to associate with devotees is for me and for you and for each one of us to navigate this territory of less than perfect beings with whom we're to have loving relationships in order to get to the goal of Krishna in the spiritual world that's surrounded by perfected beings. There's no imperfect beings in the spiritual world. But let's get something clear. A little Prabhupada story. way back in the early days, semi-early days, there was a devotee from Iran who was named, Prabhupada initiated him as Atreya Rishi Prabhu. Some of you read Lilamrita, you know his name, like just from Lilamrita. And he was a highly paid financial advisor and accountant for really qualified companies. I don't know if it's true or not, but I was told he was such a qualified person, they would fly him in a helicopter from one rooftop of one building to another building so we didn't have to waste time going by taxi to the next place. Really, like, top-notch person. And he started taking interest in Krishna consciousness. And naturally, he was invited in to take a look at the accounting system. He was shocked. And he wrote to Prabhupada. I don't know what he wrote to Prabhupada. I saw the letter that Prabhupada's reply. And Prabhupada's reply was beautiful. Prabhupada said, do not look for utopia. He used the word utopia. You know the meaning? Utopia, like perfect. Even in the spiritual world, even in Goloka Vrindavan, it is not utopia. Here's the example he gave. He said, Krishna, sometimes he, just by seeing Radharani, he becomes so disturbed in mind, so confused in mind or something like that, that he goes into the Goshala and he starts to milk a bull. Even in Goloka, it's not utopia. Everything's not perfect. Now, that doesn't mean the person that was doing the bookkeeping, he didn't get on the case of the person that was doing the bookkeeping in some, you know, incompetent way. But as devotees, we should be very careful about cultivating devotee relationships in a way that Prabhupada says we should cultivate devotee relationships, those six kinds of loving exchanges. And with those dues, there's some do nots. With every injunction, there's a prohibition, and with every prohibition, there's an injunction. Yama and niyama, it's a couple, they go together. So in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says that this is cultivating devotee relationships. We're very careful in intimate association with non-devotees, and he lists the categories of mayavadis and gross materialists and others, atheists. The world is filled with such people that don't have a clear understanding, going back to chapter 9. They, even amongst those who worship, they have a misunderstanding, a vidhi purvakam kind of capacity to understand what loving devotion to Krishna is. And the broad net, Prabhupada, Krishna has called them his devotees, says, offering their worship without clear and proper understanding. Then, in Nectar of Instruction, he's advising, we don't intimately associate with those people. We don't have guyam akyati prishyati. We don't confidentially disclose our mind with matters that are sensitive and highly personal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur details it this way. He says, when you're in the workplace, for example, you're cordial. Good day. How are you? How's your family? You know, small talk. But, you know, court polite, not. But when something that comes down to something that's a direction that your life needs to move in, we don't bring those topics to those people. We share those and reserve those discussions for devotees. Confidential topics are for devotees. Even knowing that the devotees, like me, like each one of us, are less than perfect. We have to navigate this territory of having confidential dealings with persons that are less than perfect, like us. So, now, these are, I think the topic is keys for cultivating proper Vaishnava relationships amongst the Vaishnavas that we're amongst who are less than perfect. There's a section of Chaitanya Charitamrita I'm going to make reference to, and then I'm going to go back to Nectar of Instruction. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a section where Krishna Das Kaviraj, there's a babbling child that's distracting. That was quiet. You heard me. Okay. If the child continues to babble, then mother, please do the needful. Krishnadas Kaviraj had the good fortune of hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami not only the pastimes of Krishna in Puri, but also he was sharing the benefit that he received, Raghunath Das received, by hearing from Sarup Damodar the inner mood of ecstasy of love of God that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing, because Sarup Damodar had that capacity. And Raghunath, when he became a devotee in Puri, was called the Raghu of Sarup, because there were multiple Raghunas, and so to differentiate one from the other, he was the Raghu of Sarup. He was put in the care of Sarup Damodar. In fact, it's said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Raghunath never directly spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He spoke to Sarup Damodar, who spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu replied to Sarup Damodar, to Raghunath. And that was the way that the Das mood of Raghunath Das. And after Mahaprabhu departed, Raghunath wanted to leave the world. So he went to Vrindavan with the idea of paying his respects to the Goswamis, going to Govardhan Hill, jumping off Govardhan Hill and giving up his life. Rupa Goswami could understand his mood and said, do not. You're our property. You're in our care. And we've been here in Vrindavan. Well, you for 20 years have been... You've been with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not 20 years. Yeah, because you traveled. Okay. You've been with Mahaprabhu for so many years. And intimately associating with it. We've been here serving in separation. You stay here in Vrindavan. And every day, sit under this tree by the side of Radha Kund. And for 3-4 hours every day, you just talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes in Puri. With the benefit that you receive from his direct association and the deep understanding of Srupa Damodar and his inner bodhi of love. So he did that. And in the audience was Krishna Das. And Krishna Das was very elderly. And the devotees understood. We need to capture this. We don't have an MP3 recorder. Nor do we have a video camera. But we need to capture so that future generations can know. Krishna Das was given the title Kaviraj because he had the capacity, a poetic and deep writing capacity to express things very, very beautifully. So they requested him, you please accept the responsibility to write everything that we've heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, a life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was feeling not qualified. But he was ordered by the senior devotees to do this. So he went from one senior devotee to the other senior devotee throughout all of Vrindavan, falling at their feet and seeking their blessings. So one of those that he went to was Haridas Pandit. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Haridas Pandit was a second generation disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, and he was very learned in the Bhagavatam, as was Gadadhar Pandit, and he was a pujari of the Radha Govinda temple. And when Krishna Das describes, when Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami went to request Haridas Pandit for his blessings, it described him in this language, Adosha Darshi. Dosha means fault, and Adosha Darshi. He never saw the faults in other ones, anyone. And in Prabhupada's short purport, he says, everything in this world has its qualities and faults, guna and doshas. Everything, without exception. And Haridas knew that every one and everything has qualities and faults, but he would overlook the faults and see the good quality and nurture and nourish the good quality. This is a teaching that will help us, a key for Vaishnava relationships. Something that we need to do to get to Goloka Vrindavan is have loving relationships with devotees. And we have to learn how to address the shortcomings and faults. Shortcomings or faults, doshas, of ourselves and others that are in the community of devotees, the Sangha of Vaishnavas. Similarly, there's a very interesting little passage from a morning walk conversation with Srila Prabhupada, where Tamal Krishna Maharaj, some of you may know, like an intense, strong sannyasi, he was the GBC for all of India for some period of time, and took care of all kinds of things, took care of getting the property in Mayapur when no one could get the property in Mayapur. Prabhupada sent him, he got it. And he, very capable person, very trusted person. So in one morning walk, Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, can you describe the difference between fault finding, calling a spade, do you have that term here in India? Yes, okay. Calling a spade, and blasphemy. So Prabhupada said, spade a spade. Like I may say, who are you? You're a small fig. And that's a fact. That's calling a spade a spade. You know, but so as a spiritual master saying to a disciple, you're tiny. It's a fact. We're tiny. Before Krishna, we're tiny. It's a fact. And then Prabhupada said, what were the other two? The next one was fault finding. So this is what Haridas Pandit avoided. And it said specifically, no one would even bring to him some fault-finding message, because he wouldn't hear it. He would get up and leave, or have kirtan, or, you know, he wouldn't hear it. People didn't, they respected him so much, they wouldn't fault-find in his presence, at least. Because he wouldn't hear it. He would want to encourage the good qualities, strengthen the good qualities, and lift people. That's what he did. So, when it came to fault-finding, Prabhupada said, there are two animals, well, actually insects. One is a fly, and another is a bumblebee. And the fly goes to where there's a sore, and it sits on the sore and takes the infection, and it becomes happy when there's some infection, where there's a sore. And the bee goes to where there's honey. So fault-finding is like a fly that just goes where there's a sore. And a Vaishnava doesn't do that. So we're in the association of Vaishnavas. And we want keys for developing Vaishnava relationships. So be honey-like instead of fly-like. Don't be fault-finding. Be looking for the bhakti that's within, and respecting the bhakti that's within. Not that we become blind, we can't see anything, but in the mood of service, this is a key for a Vaishnava relationships. In the mood of service to this Vaishnava, that Vaishnava, or Vaishnavi, in what way can I be of service to this devotee who's carrying Krishna bhakti within? You may not have the answer, but that's the mood of service to the Vaishnavas. Dasa, dasa, anudasa. That's the mood. It's a key for developing loving relationships. Be in the mood of humble service unto one and all, those who have, out of all the living entities in this world, some, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, it's rare to find someone who has bhakti within. So we respect the bhakti that's within. Now, blasphemy, what Prabhupada said was, although there's no fault, one finds fault. One criticizes where there is no fault, that's blasphemy. So, calling a spade, fault finding, and blasphemy. It's in gradations of worse. We want to avoid fault finding. It doesn't strengthen Vaishnava relationships. We want to be in the mood of service. I'm going to share something about Bhakti Siddhanta as a key to developing Vaishnava relationships. Just on the personal side, from the very, 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 very beginning of my Krishna consciousness, one of the first things that happened for me was deep respect and regard for Bhakti Siddhanta. And here's how it happened. Once upon a time, I was a college student, you know, 49 years ago. A college student, undergraduate college student. And one of the fellow students was Burijan Prabhu. We went to the same school. Kaladananda Swami and Trivikram Swami and a whole bunch of others. About 30 devotees, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, a whole bunch of people went to the same school. Bhagavan and his wife, and Jagadish and Lakshmi Moni, and whole bunch of other people. So rather than listing the names. The first Krishna conscious literature I got, I received, was a gift from Gurujan. I didn't know what it was. It was the Back to Godhead magazine. And I didn't know any connection. This is Krishna conscious. I didn't know what it was. He just gave it here. Oh, thank you. And then so I put it, I had my clipboard and the Back to Godhead magazine in my stack of books. I was carrying it around. And one day someone said, "Oh no, you're not into that, are you?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, you know, that." I said, "Well, what's that?" "Well, you know, you don't want to be into that." I hadn't read the magazine, but they got my curiosity going. "What's that?" So I read it. And the main article was an article by Bhakti Siddhanta. And the title of the article I had to look up in a dictionary. The Bhagavad is ontology and morphology. That was, you know, an excerpt from that essay that he wrote. So I had to look up ontology and morphology in Bhagavad. And then I spent 3 hours reading the article. And you know, when you're a college student, you underline things and highlight things, look things up in the dictionary, right in the margin. It was all marked up. 3 hours later, just time, one of those, time flew. And I don't know how much I understood what I read, but one thing I did know is I was in another place of consciousness that I never knew before. And it was, I understood, it was Bhaktisiddhanta's association that took me there. So I had deep regard and respect, not because it was technical. I was a pre-med student. I was used to technical, so that wasn't what it got me. It was the spiritual association that he had given through that article. That's what got me. Some time passed. I joined the temple in Boston. 2 weeks after being in the Boston temple, Guru Das came through. Sorry for this little story, but it's meaningful. You'll see why. And he had just been in India with Prabhupada, and he had all these Prabhupada stories, and it was wonderful. And he was carrying a little stack of books, not a big one. And I asked him, "May I look at your books? Because I like books." He said, "Sure." So the one on the top was a little booklet by Bhaktisiddhanta. "Oh, Bhaktisiddhanta!" And I opened it up, and the preface was about that big. You know, it was that much on the page, and it was two paragraphs. This is the preface to the book. I didn't get to read the book. I didn't get past the preface. Bhaktisiddhanta wrote, "A Vaishnava is one who never finds fault in others, for by so doing, he is only showing that his own heart is honeycombed with the same fault." Paragraph. "Rather, a Vaishnava is one who always looks within to see where can my heart become pure and clean. This is Vaishnava." Wow. It stayed with me to this day, you know, 49 years later, 48 years later. How do we cultivate relationships with devotees that are less than perfect? And you know, when you're just coming, you know, you're not close. And when you get close to somebody, you understand more about them. You know their qualities and faults, their shortcomings, take word shortcomings, less than perfect traits that they carry. You come to know that. Now how do you process that in a loving relationship way? Advice of Bhaktisiddhanta is to become a Vaishnava, don't find fault. Now, you can see what's what. So now you have to close your eyes, you can't see, because I'm trying to become a devotee. You can discriminate what's what, but don't find fault. Ah! Don't do that. What do you do? How can I be of service? Now, if you're Haridas Pandit, how can you nourish the bhakti in the heart of this person? Because he was a senior Vaishnava, a perfect soul, and his life was nourishing bhakti in the hearts of everyone. We're not a perfect soul. We're sadhakas ourselves. So how can we just be in a mood of service? The humble mood of service will help you go beyond the fault-finding and, in the mood of service, find some way to serve this devotee, that devotee, the other devotee. That's less than perfect. I won't go into it, but recently someone shared with me, I had such and such experience, I offended some devotees because I spoke harshly about their being less than perfect, without the detail. And I felt really bad, and I knew it was offense, and since then, my chanting is troubled, my mind is troubled, my whole spiritual life is troubled. They're experiencing the reaction. Vaishnav aparad is real deal. It's not a textbook thing meant to scare you. It's real. You offend a devotee, you got a problem. And it doesn't go away easily. According to Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandarbha, aparad, and the consequence of aparad, the anartas within the heart that arise from offense, is more difficult to eradicate than sin. It goes like this. Bhakti has the power to uproot the reactions to sin. But anartas have the power to block the power of bhakti. Just like, he gives the example, just like the clouds in the sky have the power to block the power of the sun. Depending upon the thickness of the clouds, the light and the heat of the sun will not penetrate through the clouds, depending upon the thickness of the clouds. And clouds don't dissipate so quickly. It's more difficult, I'll say it again, it's more difficult to address anartas in the heart than it is the reactions to sins. It's serious. And finding fault with devotees, as this one devotee was sharing with me, created a practically overnight 24-hour anarta in his heart, obstacle on his path of bhakti. We need the association of devotees. It's necessary to have loving relationships with devotees to get this Goloka with Krishna and the loving, perfected souls. We have to navigate this territory properly, carefully. It's necessary, and we have to be very careful. That's also necessary. And it's not that the necessary isn't turn your intelligence off or stop discriminating. See as Krishna sees. Shastra Chakshus or Jnana Chakshus or see as Krishna sees. Oh, there's the modes of nature. And this is a symptom of this, and that's a symptom of that. How can I be of service? There's abundant opportunities for service. That's why there's a temple. You come and do some service. And just associate with devotees in these six types of loving exchanges. And when you're doing that, you're getting closer and closer and closer. You'll see the qualities and faults, and how do you process that? Look inside. So let's just do it as the Haridas Pandit way or Bhakti Siddhanta way. Do the Bhakti Siddhanta way. You can see what's what. Now, for someone that's in the Haridas Pandit position, they can see, but they don't focus on that. They focus on the bhakti that's within and nourish the bhakti that's within. Because when bhakti rises, the faults go away. And the good qualities replace the faults. Isn't it? Let's do it this way. It's the same question, same answer, but the question comes out a little different. There's 26 qualities of a devotee that are listed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of those 26 qualities, one of them is principle, or Swarup Lakshana. And the other 25 are Tatastha Lakshana, marginal characteristics. Of the 26, the one that's Swarup is Krishna Eka Sharana. You know what that means. Krishna Eka Sharana. And when Krishna sees Krishna Eka Sharana, he has a big warehouse of good qualities. And he'll decorate his devotee with those good qualities. And when the devotee comes before Krishna with those good qualities, he smiles. Oh, how nice. But the qualities came from Krishna. And he smiles. So there's a horse that's pulling the cart, and the horse is Krishna Eka Sharana. So when we're associating with devotees that are less than perfect, let Krishna be pleased. How should I conduct myself so that I can cultivate Vaishnava loving relationships with the other devotees? I want Krishna to be pleased. That's the purpose of my existence. That's on the soul level. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. I'm meant for pleasing Krishna. That's who I am. It's not about my pleasure, it's about Krishna's pleasure. How can I be of Krishna's service with this devotee or this group of devotees, or we have a project to work on together? And I want Krishna to be pleased. Cultivate that. And it's not just a matter of tolerating or looking the other way or pretending there isn't something. You cultivate Krishna's happiness, Krishna's pleasure, and in all regards. Now, one last thing. Like, this is, one could give a seminar on this topic. It's such a nice topic. I'm just touching on some factors. So the verse after the six types of loving exchanges, then the next is respect. You know, Shikshastakam. What's Shikshastakam 3? You know the verse? Tanatati Sunichena Dorohasahishnana Hanina Madanena Kirtaniyasada. You're definitely a good group. You know that. Such an important verse, Mahaprabhu said. It's so important. You should string it on the thread of the holy name and wear it constantly for remembrance. And there's four things: humility, tolerance, offering respect, and not expecting respect. Ooh. I would be a rich man if I had a penny for every time I've heard someone say, "My mother-in-law. I try to do so many things for the benefit of my mother-in-law. Never good enough. There's no respect." Hurts. So, we have an expectation when we do something for other people. When we offer respect to other people, we expect something back. A little respect. But Rupa Goswami is teaching respect according to one's position of bhakti. And no, then there's the topmost bhakta, there's the intermediate bhakta, and there's the one that just chants Krishna's name once. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and who is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. It's high.
Heart
devoid of, not just controlling the propensity, but heart devoid of the propensity. What fills that space if you don't have that propensity? And you're discriminating, the light's on. You can see what's what. The fault-finding propensity is gone when you're interested in pleasing Krishna, because that's not pleasing to Krishna, not pleasing to Guru and Krishna, not pleasing to elevated Vaishnavas, or Krishna. So what do you put in his place? The mood of service. That's what we're being provided the opportunity in devotee association, is service for the Vaishnavas. Isn't it? One of the five categories of activity that have done without offense, nectar of devotion. Of the 64 items, there's five. And if you do any one of these five without offense, it's sufficient to immediately awaken Bhava Bhakti. Without offense. So service to the Vaishnavas is one of them. Hearing the Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, worshipping the deity, living in a sacred place like Bangalore. One of the five. The service to the devotees is way up there in importance. Without offense. It's such a powerful, spiritual, nourishing activity, and we're being provided abundant opportunity without offense. And one of the offenses, as we know, is sadhu ninda, to criticize or fault find. So don't do that, because then you'll have something in your heart that's going to be really hard to get rid of. Jiva Goswami goes so far as to say, offenses is not something simply accumulated in this lifetime. We have a whole stockpile of anartas that we're born with, continuing for many lifetimes. And they don't go away easily. The tendency to criticize is a material tendency without analyzing the psychology of it. It's a conditioned tendency, and we have to overcome it. The key for cultivating Vaishnava relationship is to overcome that tendency and put something in its place. Please Krishna, serve the bhakti that's within the heart of that devotee, and you know the bigger mission of Krishna consciousness. Negative. Don't do that. The stockpile of unwanted things in the heart is going to grow. You become part of the problem. Your heart becomes part of the problem. So don't do that. Positive. Be in the mood of serving the Vaishnavas without offense. And be eager, according to Bhaktisiddhanta's language, both by introspection and by being under the guidance of capable devotees that can help us understand what's in my heart that shouldn't be there and how can I become free from that which is in my heart that shouldn't be there. That's my project, make my heart as honeycombed clean. That's our project. Cleansing the heart. Jeto Dharpana Marjanam. That's our project. That's the starter. I'll say one more thing, and then I'll end. Bhava Mahadavani Devapanam. I invite you, when you go home, not during class, please, read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verses 22 through 25, or 23 through 25, where Prabhupada is describing, excuse me, Krishna is defining samadhi. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, Bhava Mahadavagni is the stage of nirvana. And it's the second stage in chanting the holy name. Because, Prabhupada explains, nirvana means, quote, cessation of material activity. And material activity includes the maha agni, the blazing fire of material existence. You know, the reactions to our material activities. And the chanting of the holy name that Mahaprabhu gave us takes us just in stage two to nirvana stage. Now what happens after nirvana? Ask a Buddhist. There isn't anything after nirvana. Ask Mahaprabhu. There's a whole bunch that happens after nirvana. Or ask the Bhagavatam. Read the purport. Swarupena Vyavastati. The activities, Swarup. The activities of the living entity in the liberated stage. What do you do after nirvana? You do devotional service. That's free from offense. That's what you do. We want to get there. So carefully guard against offenses. Carefully guard against finding fault and cultivate instead the mood of service to the Vaishnavas and loving exchanges. It's a skinny little book. It doesn't take a long time to read it. It takes a longer time to bring it in your heart. And that's the opportunity through the association of devotees that Prabhupada has created through the Hare Krishna movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and temples and sanghas and extension centers and bhakti vrikshas, and all of it is, it's Vaishnava relationships that are to help us get to that one primary relationship, Krishna Eka Sharana. That's the goal. And if your light's on, you'll know what the goal is, and you know how to get to the goal. If your light's not on, you'll feel entitled. I'm an initiated devotee. I've got diksha, and they should be respecting me. Or maybe not so gross like that, but you know, subtle versions of, instead of the mood of service. Be clear what the goal is. Cultivate the goal through the medium of loving relationships with devotees who are like each one of us, you and me, and all the way, every one of us, less than perfect, who are to serve, less than perfect beings, to get to the perfect person, the supreme person, and his eternal loving associates. There's a mission. The giving of the holy name, and making our lives perfect through the instructions of our founder Acharya to carry us across the fierce ocean of material existence to the other shore. Goloka. It's a big topic. So those are some keys. Then you gotta use the keys. You gotta find the lock and use the keys. Any discussion? Comments or questions? Oh, here's one. When you mention we can discriminate, in that context, if I'm not in managerial position and I see a senior doing something not ideal, for example, throwing a prasad instead of doing food for life because of mismanagement. Now I know I can't advise seniors, then still, if mentally it is fault-finding, what to do? Well, depends what your mood is, whether it's fault-finding or not. If you are fault-finding, then you step away from the mentality of fault-finding, but you can be respectful and give some feedback. And if the problem is fault-finding, then you don't do that. But if the mood is, I want to see our community grow, and so, who knows what the situation is? Who knows? The answer is you don't know. Of that senior person, who knows what their day has been like or what turmoil they have been going through. And it's an unbecoming behavior that they regret, but circumstantially something. And if we understood, I'll be transparent here. I had this experience just during our visit in Mayapur. I had to